Well, this evening we have begun our Triduum celebration, our celebration of those last days of our Lord before his passion, death, and resurrection. And we start tonight with an important day of remembrance. Of course, we know that this is the Mass of the Lord's Supper. This is the Mass where we celebrate that first Mass, that first divine liturgy that our Lord celebrated there in that upper room, where we remember when he gave us the Eucharist for the first time and gave his disciples the power to do the same, to celebrate the Eucharist. But this also is traditionally a very important day for the priesthood because of its connection to the Eucharist. Now, we don't see it here because our diocese is so large, but traditionally, Thursday morning is the celebration of the Chrism Mass. The Mass, which, of course, everybody knows, is when the holy oils are blessed. But it is also the Mass where priests renew their promises they made at their ordination. That when I and every priest knelt before our bishop, we made promises. Promises to pray. Promises to be celibate. Promises to be obedient. And so on. All these different promises that we made. Well, during the Chrism Mass, we go back and we renew them. We stand before the people of God, namely those who attended the Chrism Mass, and renew those promises every year. It's a very important part of the life of a priest to once again be reminded of the promises that we make and reminded that we are called to live them every day of our lives. So it's a very important thing, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We did our Chrism Mass for our diocese a week ago in Billings. We had a day of prayer before that, and then we had the Chrism Mass, and it was a beautiful experience. And of course, it's an opportunity for us priests to get together because we are so far flung. You know, I'm fortunate that I have, you know, a number of my brother priests just 25 miles that way. Some of my brother priests are about 200, 300 miles that way, you know, and that way, you know, off in the distance. So we can get together and visit and share in that experience. But tonight we are remembering the Eucharist, which is the completion of the Passover sacrifice. It was not a coincidence that our Lord gave the Eucharist to his apostles the first time during a Passover meal. Because part of the Passover sacrifice, as we saw in the first reading, was that they were to share in the sacrificial lamb. The lamb that was sacrificed, they would then eat it. They would receive it. So our Lord, during this Passover meal, to fulfill the Passover, gives his apostles, as he gives to us now, the new sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God, himself. He gives them himself in the Eucharist. And these sacrifices, the Passover and the Eucharist, they parallel each other because, of course, again, the Eucharist is the fulfillment of the Passover. Both sacrifices were offered to save people from death. Now, in the case of the Passover, of course, it is literally to save them from death. If you remember the story of the Passover, it was the Passover of the angel of death killing the firstborn Egyptians. But because the Israelites had received the Passover lamb and took some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts and the lintel, the angel passed them by. Their firstborn were saved from death. And then, of course, in a longer sense, the Israelites were saved from the death of being slaves to Egypt and being sent eventually, after many years, to the promised land. Well, with the Eucharist, what our Lord saves us as the new Passover lamb, Paschal lamb, is the death that comes from sin, that death that entered into the world when Adam and Eve first sinned, and that remains a part of the world until the day our Lord returns in glory. But through the Eucharist, we are saved from sin. Sin no longer traps us. Sin no longer holds us. There are differences, though, between the two sacrifices. With the Passover sacrifice, it was an annual observance. Every year, the people of Israel, and then the Jews, the Jewish people, would celebrate this Passover sacrifice, this ritual of receiving, of sacrificing the lamb and then receiving, consuming, eating that lamb. Every year they would reenact that. With the Eucharist, it was not an animal, of course, it was our Lord himself. And it was only one sacrifice. His sacrifice. Every time we attend Mass, we are not attending a new sacrifice. We are attending the one and same sacrifice. We are joining once again in that same sacrifice of our Lord just under 2,000 years ago. We are united in that. It's as if, again, I know I've said this before, but if we could see the spiritual life, if we could see the spiritual realm, we would recognize that we are in heaven at Mass with all the saints and angels. And all the Masses that are offered throughout time are the same sacrifice. Masses that were celebrated 1,000 years ago will be celebrated 1,000 years from now, and the Mass tonight are all united as one sacrifice, the sacrifice of our Lord. And as such, because we are participating in the one sacrifice of our Lord, it is through the Eucharist that we are united as Christians. Because as members of the body of Christ, we are receiving the body of Christ. We are receiving Him who has united us as Christians. And through this sacrifice, through this Eucharist, by uniting us together, He is uniting us together to go out and to serve the world, to go out and proclaim the good news of salvation. You know, the last words of the Mass said by the priest are go. And it's not get out of here and go to coffee and rolls or coffee and or soup and bread, as delicious as that is. It's not get out of here and go watch football. It's go out and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Go out and serve your neighbor. Love your neighbor as our Lord calls us to do. That is what that dismissal is. And yes, I've joked about it, but that final thanks be to God should be loud. But not because we're done with Mass and let's get out of here. It's we're going out to proclaim the good news. Thanks be to God. The Eucharist calls us to serve. In fact, with our gospel tonight, we see that. At that supper, when our Lord instituted the Eucharist, what did He do for the apostles? He served them. And He served them in a way that was reserved to the lowest of the servants. Because when you would come to someone's house, it was expected that your feet needed to be washed because, one, they're wearing sandals, and two, they didn't have nice pavement like we do. They walked on a lot of dirty roads. And animals were using those dirty roads and doing what animals do as they walk along and so on. And so you had to have your feet washed every time you came into the house. And that was the lowest of the servants that was given that disgusting task. And yet our Lord, who's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, served them. And he served them at this meal where he also made them priests, where he also gave us the Eucharist for the first time. The two are united. That is why that dismissal is go out and proclaim the good news. Go out and serve people. Serve others. That go forth. It is to serve others. And too often we miss that. We don't see it. And I think one of the two ways that I think we don't see it is when people say, well, I don't need to be a good person to go to church. You ever hear anybody say that? I have. I can be a good person without going to church, without going to Mass. Absolutely, that's true. Frankly, I've met people out there that are better than some of the people I've met in church, regular churchgoers. Not picking on anyone present here. Be clear about this. But I have met people in the church that are not good people. And I have met very good people out in the world. However, those who do not come to church, they can be a good person, but they are missing out on how our Lord is calling us to live. And how he is calling us to live is to unite ourselves with him through the Eucharist. So they are good people, but they are not living as Christ is calling them to live. And then vice versa, as I said, there are those who they're here at Mass every Sunday without fail, and they're not good people. They're very sinful people. They're people who cause harm to the body of Christ. But yet they come and receive our Lord in the Eucharist. And then they go out and they gossip, they insult, bear false witness, attack others. Again, not talking about anybody present, but you know the kind of person I'm talking about. They're missing that what happens here needs to change their lives so they are no longer living as selfish and sinful people. But instead, go from the Mass and go out to serve and love their neighbor. They receive our Lord without giving what he has given in the Eucharist himself. They don't share our Lord with the world. They keep it for themselves. We need both. We need to be regularly receiving our Lord as he tells us to do. Do this in remembrance of me. We need to go out and serve the world, to serve as he served his apostles. We need both. Both are explicitly commanded by our Lord. He tells us to do both. And so we need to do both. If we are only doing one or the other, we're missing half of what it means to be a disciple. Ending phrases, I've mentioned them. And I usually do the one, go forth, the Mass is ended. But there are a couple other phrases that you'll find in the book. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go out and proclaim the good news. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your lives. These are the calls that we have from our Lord. That what happens here should lead us out into the world to proclaim the good news. There is that connection between the Mass and the service we do to the world. So tonight, as we celebrate this Mass of our Lord's Supper, that night where he gave us the Eucharist, and as we prepare over the next couple of days to remember his death, to remember his resurrection, and to celebrate those events, we need to recognize that what we do here tonight comes with a call to serve.